on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's been confirmed that a multi-pronged inquest is to take place in December into the circumstances surrounding the death of a Letterkenny woman. Meanwhile, there's been a 40% increase in the number of people attending the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's emerged that Ballybofey Garda Station are still waiting for a new patrol car over 6 months since one was first requested. And concerns over the structure of the Old Town Bridge in Letterkenny and the impact current traffic management measures are having on it is to be raised at a public meeting next week. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, it's been confirmed that a multi-pronged inquest is to take place in December into the circumstances surrounding the death of a Letterkenny woman. Margaret Callaghan was released from Letterkenny University Hospital in January 2018 after undergoing a non-emergency investigation. However, later that day, the 71-year-old fell ill and her family called an ambulance to her home, which was less than a mile from the hospital. The ambulance took over an hour to get there. Journalist with the Donegal News, Conor Sharkey, was in court for the pre-evidence inquest. He expects that a lot of serious questions will be highlighted during proceedings.
Dr. Dennis McCauley did allude to this yesterday. He says it was going to be a sort of multi-pronged inquest, which is scheduled to take place in December. And he has asked for a report to be drawn up by the HSE, by the hospital, into what was happening at Letterkenny Hospital on that evening, what the waiting times were, what the bed capacity was like. And he's awaiting that report. Now, the family's legal representative indicated that they are very keen to push ahead and obviously to get answers as to what happened here. But certainly the scrutiny will be largely on the hospital and what was happening that evening. And Dr. McCauley also pointed to another case in Carndona, that of a well-publicised one of the late Mrs. Maura Porter, and similar circumstances where she waited 50 minutes for an ambulance and sadly passed away. So that will also will form part of this inquest.
And why would this case be the subject of an inquest? Do we know what would trigger that? Because, of course, you know, I remember when we were discussing this case, there was lots of other people that could relate similar cases that were contacting us, but they never became the subject of an inquest. Do we know how an inquest would be ordered in this way, Connor?
I think where it's not just a cut and dried as to what happened, where there are questions outstanding, essentially. And in this case, obviously, there are questions as to why it took an hour, why an ambulance was tied up for 6.5 hours, and why Mrs. Callaghan didn't get the care that she required within a reasonable time.
Meanwhile, there's been a 40% increase in the number of people attending the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. In a statement issued this afternoon, the Sealta Hospital Group has confirmed that over 150 people presented at the ED on 3 consecutive days this week. This morning, there were 39 people awaiting inpatient beds at the hospital, according to the INMO, 9 of them on trolleys in the emergency department. Catherine Gaffney has the latest.
Sealta has confirmed that over 150 people attended the emergency department at the hospital on 3 consecutive days. This is around 40% more than usual. Following the high attendances, the hospital has admitted a significant number of ill patients, many of whom remain in the ED awaiting a bed. Actions underway at the hospital to alleviate the waiting times for patients requiring admission include additional reviews, early discharges and deferral of elective non-urgent procedures. Management are reminding the public to attend the ED only in the case of real emergencies, and they should contact their GP or GP out of hours service in the first instance. Hospital management regrets the inconvenience and distress the long delays cause patients and their families. The hospital says that it is prioritising those most in need of care, and this unfortunately may lead to delays for less urgent patients.
The EU's chief Brexit negotiator says the European Union will continue to protect the interests of its citizens and companies in all circumstances. Michel Barnier also says the conditions for peace and stability on the island of Ireland will also be protected. He's tweeted, "It's our duty and responsibility." It comes amid the growing threat of a no-deal Brexit on October 31st. Meanwhile, the business minister says the ball is in Boris Johnson's court to avoid a no-deal Brexit. There's been criticism of the British Prime Minister's decision to suspend the UK Parliament for over a month. Some politicians there have seen it as an attempt to block opposition to a no-deal Brexit. It's said to protests across the UK and a petition with over a million signatures. Business Minister Heather Humphreys is still hopeful a solution can be found to stop Britain crashing out of the EU at the end of October.
Nobody wants to see a border coming back between us and Northern Ireland. So we're doing everything we can, talking to the Commission, we're working with them to find the solutions. But it is not easy. But the withdrawal agreement is the best possible outcome. And Boris Johnson has said that he has alternatives. We're waiting to hear what those alternatives are. We need meat on the bones. But the ball is firmly in his court.
A Lifford-Stranorder councillor fears Gardaí in the Twin Towns are inadequately equipped to deal with emergencies swiftly, as its emerged Ballybuffet Garda station is still without a new vehicle over 6 months on since it was first requested. Councillor Patrick McGowan says Gardaí there have to police a border area and one which has been subject to a high level of crime in recent times. He says to leave Gardaí without the basic tools to carry out their duties is totally unacceptable.
And if you consider that this area, especially at night, covers maybe even down as far as Kerrigan's, because Belfast was surrounded by smaller Garda stations, so you have one or two Gardaí. We had the Garda station in Bracca closed many years ago. Killigarden Crossroads, you don't have a Garda station, and we're all being led to believe that you don't need Garda stations, that there would be plenty of patrols out there to not just to investigate but actually to prevent crime, that they would be out and about and that they would be seen, the community would seen, there'd be confidence there, and it'd also put off any would-be criminals. But that's completely the opposite of what's happening. They're closing the Garda stations, and at the same time, they're not giving the Garda on the ground the equipment and the manpower that they actually need. And it is, it's very, very frustrating. And, being involved in a lot of the textile schemes, it's not what we were promised. We were promised more resources, not less.
One can only imagine in the case of a real emergency in Ballybuffet, Gardaí without a patrol car, it would take maybe perhaps a bit of extra time to deal with that emergency.
Well, absolutely. And the other point is too, Ballybuffet sits between three national primary roads into the Donegal, Sligo, Letterkenny, Derry, and also down to Lifford, Staban. And, the amount of kind of accidents or different incidents that happened on these roads, never mind the normal Garda policing type things that have to go on, with burglaries.
Donegal County Council has confirmed to Highland Radio News that it is liaising with the Department of Arts, Culture and the Gaeltacht with a view towards securing funding for a number of projects on Donegal's islands. This includes proposed works to improve and maintain island roads. Last week, Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Ospa claimed the department had not announced any allocations for island roads this year, despite a comprehensive application having been submitted by Donegal County Council. The council has confirmed it submitted a funding application in April and has been engaging with the department over the summer months. Officials are currently awaiting a decision on the application. A 24-hour spell of heavy and persistent rain is set to fall on 10 counties from tomorrow morning. Met Éireann has issued a 24-hour status yellow rainfall warning for all of Connacht, as well as Donegal, Clare, Cork, Kerry and Limerick. Up to 50 millimetres of rain is expected to fall, with a risk of localised flooding. Met Éireann meteorologist Matthew Martin says it will be a wet day across the entire country.
So there will be rain in all areas of the country, but it won't be quite up to the criteria of a warning level. But certainly it's going to be a wet day for many on Friday and Friday night before that rain eventually clears into the Irish Sea during Saturday morning.
Concerns over the structure of the Old Town Bridge in Letterkenny and the impact current traffic management measures are having on it is to be raised at a public meeting next week. One of the organisers of the meeting, Aintree's Mary T. Sweeney, says there is growing concern locally about cracks in the stonework of the bridge, and that's being exacerbated by the roadworks taking place nearby. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, she says initially the traffic management in the area needs to be looked at.
The big query that I have at this moment in time is that they're pile driving in that area, and that's all soft land, that's all floodplain there. So you're not talking about a hard base. I've been working with property all my life in the family business and having to do valuations and that, and it makes no sense to me that they're allowing concrete lorries laden with bricks, school buses laden with children. Nobody should be allowed to at least sit on top of the bridge with the traffic light system. They should at least manage to push the traffic back to wait behind the roundabout,
mm-hmm.
that they don't sit on the crest of the bridge in the interim. I think it's a very beneficial exercise to bring the public together, because people have great ideas when they have local knowledge. And the traffic management at the moment, we need something in the interim until a new bridge is built.
Is there a problem with traffic management, with traffic movement, and is there fears that it's going to get worse?
There's totally fears it's going to get worse. Roadworks were due to start in Rockhill, and that has now been deferred just to November. But the reality is, it's still during the school term.
The Communications Minister has defended the tender process for the National Broadband Plan. That's despite a report from an Oireachtas committee earlier this week saying it was flawed and not fit for purpose. The government's plan is for Granahan McCourt to roll out rural broadband at a cost of €3 billion. Richard Burton says it's too late to go back to the drawing board.
The process of this tender being put together has been very rigorous. We are at the final stage of that tender process. If there was any of that process was to be changed, we would have to abandon the tender and start all over again. That would involve a five-year wait of people to get access to broadband, which I believe is crucial to rural Ireland.
There are calls for the Market Square in Letterkenny to be restored to its former glory. The square, located in the town centre, was once the focal point for markets and fairs, but was altered in the 1990s, enclosing the open space with the construction of walls and the planting of shrubbery. Councillor Michael McBride says if the square was returned to its former state, it would create that traditional and much-needed hub for Letterkenny again. He believes that the move would only benefit the town.
That's one of them things that, you know what, I was sitting doing my motion for a municipal meeting a couple of nights ago, and I just decided, you know, that I was putting this in. There's different issues we had in our campaign, but I'm putting in. I'm going to ask Donegal County Council to look for funding to revamp that. I think it should be a top priority for Letterkenny. I know we have many, many issues around the town, particularly our roads, but I think that's something that we need to be moving on early and try and make something happen during the... and I think, you know, there is some buildings in around the Market Square area there that could be doing with a bit of a revamp. And, you know, if it became an area of the town where, you know, it was attracting people into it, it would make it more attractive for people who own the buildings there, for to get them, regenerate them and get them back into use. So I think it would have a knock-on effect as well.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with great back-to-school offers in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with rugby, and Joe Smith has made 11 changes to the Ireland side that will face Wales in Saturday's penultimate World Cup warm-up. Jack Carty, he'll make his first started out half, forming a half-back partnership with his Connacht teammate Kieran Marimon. Will Addison starts at full-back, having been initially omitted from Smith's original training squad in the summer. In the forwards, Jack Conan, James Ryan and Dave Kilcoyne all make their first appearances of the season. Meanwhile, the Welsh head coach Warren Gatland, he's handed debuts to Saracens prop Rhys Kerr and the Cardiff winger Owen Lane for Saturday's game. The Ireland captain Rory Best is named on the bench, and Smith feels some of the criticism thrown at the Ulster hooker isn't warranted.
I think the people who maybe really launched the criticism at him, I think some of it is unfair. The quality of what he provided as far as his support play and his breakdown work was still of a really good standard.
Moving on to soccer, and Shamrock Rovers midfielder Jack Byrne has been included in the Republic of Ireland squad for next month's Euro 2020 qualifier with Switzerland. Bournemouth goalkeeper Mark Travers makes the cut, but Robbie Brady, Harry Arter and Shane Long, they all miss out. Ireland play the Swiss at the Aviva Stadium on September the 5th before a friendly with Bulgaria 5 days later. And Liverpool, they'll learn how the defence of their Champions League title will begin later on. The group stage draw takes place in Monaco. It has just started. The holders are top seeds along with Manchester City and Chelsea, but could still face the likes of Real Madrid, Ajax or Inter Milan. Last year's finalist Spurs, they're among the second seeds. And Celtic, they look to seal a place in the group phase of the Europa League this evening. Neil Lennon's side take with them a 2-0 lead to Stockholm ahead of their second leg playoff round tie with AIK. That game kicks off at 6 o'clock. And Wolves, they resume their tie with Torino at Molineux. They have a 3-2 advantage from the first leg, while Rangers and Legia Warsaw, they're scoreless heading into the second leg at Ibrox. Steven Gerrard's side look like they could yet be in more trouble with UEFA over sectarian singing. They'll find out tomorrow if they'll be punished for the behaviour of their fans during the away leg of that tie in Poland. 3,000 seats will be empty tonight at Ibrox following a separate charge of racist behaviour in Rangers' game with St Joseph's in July. And Roma, they're believed to be closing in and getting Manchester United defender Chris Smalling on loan. The 29-year-old's expected to fly to Italy later for a medical. The season-long loan's expected to cost the Serie A side €3 million. Meanwhile, back at home, as part of the Finn Harps 50th anniversary celebrations, the club will welcome past players and managers to this Friday night's league game in the Premier Division in the match against St Patrick's Athletic at Finn Park. In August 1969, Harps played their first ever home game in the League of Ireland against Shamrock Rovers. The current crop are battling relegation, and with 7 games to go, they have a 6-point cushion over bottom side UCD. Richie Kelly was a member of the first Harps senior team 50 years ago. He's backed Ollie Horgan's men to stay up.
I think Ollie Horgan and Paul Higgerty have done tremendously well. It's not easy in senior football. Senior football is a game far removed from anything that's played below it. Harps, I think, have done quite well. I have great admiration for Ollie and Paul because I know the real difficulties of trying to survive in a Premier League in which a lot of sides have a lot of money and Harps haven't as much money. And yet they have managed to keep Harps. They brought them up from the lower division. I have a feeling that they can survive the drop. I think they can do that. Every time I see them play, I think they're organised. I think Ollie and Paul know what they're about in terms of the way the team should play. And I think they have enough players there who know about the senior game and they have a lot of stuff about them. So I was surprised at the way they're playing. And I think that's down to Ollie and Paul. They have done a fantastic job. And for anybody that's in football, you ask the junior manager what it's like to put together a team of senior footballers to take on the Shamrock Rovers of this world and the Dundalks and guys who are on the edge maybe of going to play in England and places like that. I'll tell you, that's a big challenge, and I think Harps have met that challenge. Yeah.
That's Richie Kelly. Finn Harps, as I say, hosts St Patrick's Athletic. 8 o'clock's the kick-off time, Finn Park, tomorrow night. And there's 3 games this evening in the North West Women's Super League. They all start at 7 o'clock. The champions, Bonagie United, they host Greencastle. Kildare play Fannad United and Lagan Harps play Elise Celtic. In golf this week, it's the European Masters. Rory McIlroy has made the journey after winning the FedEx Cup. He's played this week. He finished his round today with a round of 69, 3 under par. And the rest of the Irish, Patrick Harrington's 1 over after 71. Paul Dunne and Gavin Moynihan, they shot 73. For 3 over. Leading the way are Michael Lorenzo Vera and Matthias Schwab. They're both 7 under par after rounds of 63. In rowing, Paul Donovan and Fintan McCarthy have secured the place at next year's Olympic Games. The Skibbereen pair won the semi-final of their lightweight double sculls at the World Championship in Linz today. Elsewhere, Gary O'Donovan and the women's 4 crew team, they will compete in their respective B finals. The Skibbereen man finished 6th in a semi, while the team of 4 finished 4th in theirs. In cycling, Nicholas Roach has been forced to abandon the Vuelta a España a day after surrendering the leader's red jersey. The Irish rider crashed in today's 6th stage, and despite attempting to restart, Roach has been forced out of the race. Spain's Owen Jesus Herrada won today's stage, while Dylan Tuyons has claimed the lead on general classification. And finally, for this evening in motorsport, there'll be a record 22 Formula 1 races next season. The Netherlands and Vietnam are new hosts for 2020, with Germany dropping off the calendar. And Valtteri Bottas will remain as Lewis Hamilton's teammate at Mercedes next year. Esteban Ocon will replace Nico Hülkenberg at Renault. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news. The tourism industry is braced for a difficult autumn with the uncertainty over Brexit. CSO figures show the numbers of overseas visitors to Ireland increased by 2.8% in the first 7 months of the year. However, they showed a slight drop of 0.5% in July. CEO of Tourism Ireland, Niall Gibbons, says they are watching developments in Britain closely.
But overall, you know, numbers have been good for the first 7 months, but it is an uneven distribution, some regions doing better than others. But we're certainly facing into choppier waters with the uncertainty of Brexit coming at the end of October.
And finally, Donegal Town has been awarded winner of Foodie Towns at 2019. Meanwhile, the Food Coast Donegal has been announced as third place in Foodie Destinations 2019, being tipped to the post by Waterford as the winner. Mary McGettigan is a member of the Taste of Donegal Committee, which spearheaded the Donegal Town bid and also organises the annual food festival, which took place last weekend. She says it's been a great few days.
This is just the icing on the cake after a fantastic weekend. We've all been working so hard in Donegal Town over the last 10-11 years, and then driving food tourism and all the hotels, restaurants, cafes.
This didn't just happen, it didn't just fall into place. This took a lot of work, a lot of cooperation.
The thing about Donegal Town is what we are driving forward all the time is that it's about collaboration between council, Fáilte Ireland. Volunteerism is a huge thing and events in Donegal Town, and they're all driven by volunteers and all supported by the businesses and the public agencies. So it's a win for everybody in Donegal Town, and we're just delighted to be named the foodiest town in Ireland. It's just great for us.
And also Donegal taking third place in the Foodie Destination Award, and no doubt Donegal Town's contribution was a major win in that respect.
The Food Coast, I mean, we're all good friends. Two of us actually sit on the steering group for the Food Coast, so we really do collaborate together anyway. It's been ongoing for a number of years, and so we were thrilled. They were with us, so we were with them, and we were all wondering how is this going to work out for us. So we're all happy for each other, and going forward we will continue to work together and collaborate with the Food Coast.
Weather now staying windy and rather cloudy for the rest of the day, with some scattered showers and a few bright or sunny spells. It will be cloudy and windy tonight also, with outbreaks of rain developing, becoming persistent towards dawn. A mildly night with lowest temperatures of 13 to 15 degrees and fresh to strong and gusty south to southwest winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, it's been confirmed that a multi-pronged inquest is to take place in December into the circumstances surrounding the death of a Letterkenny woman. Margaret Callaghan was released from Letterkenny University Hospital in January of 2018 after undergoing a non-emergency investigation. However, later that day, the 71-year-old fell ill and her family called an ambulance to her home, which was less than a mile from the hospital, but it took over an hour to get there. Meanwhile, there's been a 40% increase in the number of people attending the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. In a statement issued today, the Sealta Hospital Group has confirmed that over 150 people presented at the ED on three consecutive days this week. A Leinster Order Councillor fears Gardaí and the Twin Towns are inadequately equipped to deal with emergencies swiftly, as it's emerged that Ballybofey Garda Station is still without a new vehicle over 6 months on since it was first requested. Councillor Patrick McGowan says Gardaí there have to police a border area, and one which has been subject to a high level of crime in recent times. And a 24-hour spell of heavy and persistent rain is set to fall on 10 counties from tomorrow morning. Met Éireann has issued a 24-hour status yellow rainfall warning for all of Connacht, as well as Donegal, Clare, Cork, Kerry and Limerick. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 29th of August. The death has taken place at his late residence of George O'Brien, Clockrow, Kilmacrenan. Funeral service in St Paul's Church, Rumelton, at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, followed by burial in Gortley Cemetery. The house is private, please. The death has taken place of Margot Griffin, née McLaughlin, 7 Parkview Drive, Gortley, Letterkenny, formerly 43 Lower Main Street, Letterkenny. Her remains are en route to her late residence. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in St Columbus Church Cemetery, Massmount, Fannad. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Flowers welcome, donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Eileen Brown, Cashel Shanahan, Ballymaleel, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning in St Mary's Church, Rimelton, followed by burial in Drumkeen Cemetery. And the death has taken place of John Dixon, a hilly Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from his home tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for funeral service at 2:30. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Medical 4, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors.